Okay, good evening folks, and welcome to August ERT meeting. We are still operating sort of in a hybrid form. I'm going to run through chairperson's remarks here at the minute, but we'll just be operating as we were. I suppose the idea of this meeting was that the committee members would be back into the chamber. I know some committee members are still operating from home, but we'll clarify this as we go on down. If anybody has any questions, just put it into the chat teams as just before we move on, if that's okay. So I'd like to welcome everyone to the meeting this afternoon. Hopefully everyone can hear me clearly, as we are currently in unprecedented times. Can I ask for everyone's full cooperation and to adhere to new guidelines with regards to the conduct of the meeting? Everyone should ensure that mobile telephones are turned off or switched to silent, and the use of mobile devices for recording is not permitted. Members of the public should not speak during the meeting and may temporarily be excluded for discussion of in-committee items. Members of the public and press must refrain from using the instant messaging facility during the meeting, and anyone found to be doing so will be given a warning. Failing to adhere to the guidelines for a second time will result in being removed from the meeting. I would remind members of their obligations under the Council's Code of Conduct to declare any financial or significant non-financial interests which they have in an item of business before committee today. If you have such an interest, please either declare it now or immediately before the item itself, stating the item of business it relates to. Having declared an interest, members should leave the meeting by hanging up from the call for the duration of the discussion on that item and should not take part in the vote. You will then be invited back into the meeting once the discussion on that item has ended. The proceedings of the meeting will be audio and video recorded, except if the Council is considering any exempt matters. The recording equipment is linked to the microphone system on the computer, so please ensure your microphone is switched on before speaking. Members are reminded they are personally responsible for any comments they make at the meeting. Please ensure if you wish to speak on an item, use the instant messaging facility to indicate your wish to speak, and I will bring members in as listed. At this stage, you're to unmute your microphone or speak or click the button on the delegate microphone if you're physically in the meeting room. So that's for those that are in the chamber, if you speak on our microphones here in front of you, it's not your computer. Members should ensure their cameras are switched on when speaking, and cameras should also be switched on when a vote is being taken. I would like to remind members to keep their instant messages to the following letters: Q if you wish to ask a question, P if you wish to propose, and S if you wish to second. Please refrain from making any other comments using the instant messaging. Following presentation of officers' reports, the chairperson will call for a proposer or a seconder. This should be done using the instant messenger. Please do not submit these until the member class do so, as it may be missed. If two members ask to propose, the first member, having indicated through instant messenger, will become the proposer, and the second will indicate it will become the seconder. The chairperson will ask the proposer and seconder in turn to unmute to indicate vocally they are proposing and seconding the decision. If you need to leave a meeting early, please indicate in the instant messaging feature so we are all aware of this as an active decision and does not indicate connectivity problems. So can I just ask everyone clear enough and happy enough to move on that? Okay. All right, so the next item number, have any apologies this evening? No, I have none. Okay. Item number two is declarations of interest.
None, Chair.
Okay. Item number three is the action sheet from the ERT meeting on Monday the 14th of June. Terry, you have a question there?
Thanks, Chair. In relation to page three of the action sheet, in relation to the charging points for electric vehicles, I'm speaking in support of this strategy to obtain consultancy services to investigate feasibility of identifying sites across the district in order to send in a submission to OLEV, that's OLEV, it's the Office of Electric Vehicles. I was in touch with Connor, the director, recently with this, and was just wondering if the council could work closer with the ESB, who are working to upgrade their facilities to obtain funding and work with them in tandem to secure more EV points, especially with the increase of electric powered vehicles and the ultimate eradication of fossil vehicles powered by diesel and petrol and all. I'm just wondering what the update would be on that, and if it's possible to work alongside ESB. Thank you.
Thanks, Chair. I'm going to hand over to Mr. McGilley here.
Okay, Chairman, we're at the minute we are, as following the last meeting, we are in the process of going through the procurement exercise to appoint a team that will look at the locations. We can have the discussion or explore the discussion with ESB as requested and report back.
Okay, thank you. Councillor Clark?
It's just in regards to Newcastle Harbour, but the regeneration plan. Just maybe an update in regards to where we're at on it and what sort of approach we're going to take in regards to the plan. Obviously, from my point of view, there's a short-term need now, and Andy's probably aware of, and Barbara also is aware of the issues linking the two piers, toilet facilities, disability access, resurfacing the two piers. They would be, in my opinion, the short-term stuff we need to be looking at, and then the longer-term regeneration of the whole area. I'd like to see the plan, but I'd like to see some sort of time frame when it's going to appear before the committee.
Okay, Mr. Gillick.
Chair, we can bring a report back to the next committee on this. There has been some work ongoing. Obviously, there are pieces of work that will be delivered in the short term. There's also other developments that have been explored adjacent to the facility, and also some discussion ongoing with organisation who had previously met with the council in relation to development proposals. So we'll bring an update report back to the next committee on that, Chair.
Helping up for that, Councillor Clark, yeah. Okay, so we'll move on then to item number 4, which is the notice of motion from Councillor McMurray. Councillor McMurray, are you happy to read out your motion and speak on it?
Yes, thank you, Chair. The notice of motion is as is. Do you want me to read it through for the record or what? Or
if you're happy to.
Okay. This council endorses and supports the Fishing and Seafood Development Programme report as produced by the Strategic Investment Board and presented to the Department of Agriculture, Environment and Rural Affairs. To demonstrate support and continued assistance, this council shall send written confirmation of our support to the respective ministers for the Departments of Agriculture, Environment and Rural Affairs, of the Economy and of Finance. Request a ministerial meeting between the Minister of Finance and the Chief Executive of this council to ensure the business case and the securing of funds for this project is progressed in a timely manner. Establish a project board made up of representatives from all parties with a dedicated council officer to liaise between both Argyll, Kilkeel and Portavogie harbours, the Department of Agriculture, Environment and Rural Affairs and Newry Moray and Down Council to assist in the development and implementation of the respective projects within our district, and actively include the FSD recommendations to develop the blue-green economy and the associated requirements for skills development within council promotions. Thank you, Chair. Chair, I suppose really I wanted to bring this motion to ensure that Newry Moray and Down Council support, facilitate and engage with stakeholders to ensure that this project is developed. I'm well aware that the issue of the harbour developments of both Kilkeel and Argyll within our district go back further than my tenure as a councillor. However, with the publication by the Strategic Investment Board of the Northern Ireland Fishing and Seafood Development Programme paper, it provides an opportunity for our council to recommit and ensure the development and investment at both Argyll and Kilkeel. In order to demonstrate this, I believe we should send a clear message to not just the various ministers to which this motion mentions, but also the communities of both Kilkeel and Argyll, that we as a council are working to ensure investment and development in these areas. This means that these projects are not merely sit on the shelf, but that we are proactive in ensuring a structure is created by which these projects are facilitated and delivered. I am aware that many other councillors have maybe a more prolonged and developed relationship with the harbours involved, but just as this report sets out, this is not about competing with each other. This is about approaching the issue in a collaborative way to ensure that it delivers for everyone in the industry. An industry which is not in the doldrums, but rather a burgeoning industry that has so much more to develop. If we are sincere about developing a circular economy, then this is the industry by which they can thrive. Local produce grown to local suppliers and eateries, shipbuilders repairing and exporting vessels should also be educating and researching into new technologies which can make the ships taken to the sea more efficient and renewable. Expanding the engineering industry at the quayside in order to assemble and service offshore renewable wind projects, using waste projects such as shells to create bioplastics, all possible, all part of the circular economy. So, Chair, that's how I present the motion to the Council. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Councillor Murray. I'm going to hand over to Mr. McGillie now, and then I'll take you in, Glenn, afterwards, okay?
So, Chair, yeah, we have prepared and tabled this evening a report to give some context to the discussion. There would have been a report which is also appended that went to, I think, June committee, which gives an overview of the strategy with the kind of the key themes arising from it, particularly around development of the harbours in both Kilkeel, Argyll and Portavogie. Also the importance and the development of the blue green economy and the whole infrastructure around the harbour for development of both the processing but also the engineering and the supply side, the industries that go into the whole harbour. I suppose in terms of engagement with the department, there has been extensive engagement on this piece of work. I have summarised it in the report that's appended. In terms of the next steps, the SOC, the strategic outline case, is being finalised by DERA at the moment. That will go and will be shared with the Department of Finance and will hopefully be signed off in autumn of this year. The intention was, obviously, the department have consulted and have engaged with the fishing sectors and representative organisations in Kilkeel and Ardglass, and I assume Port of Ogie as well. And the intention would be that they would come to the September meeting of this committee to outline what the key next steps are in terms of establishing governance arrangements. So the department have clear thinking around that, and that will be an opportunity for them to share with elected members the outcome of the report, but more importantly, the governance structures moving forward, where they would, I understand, aim to set up a number of working groups that will move forward both the harbour development but also the shoreside development in terms of the land development, the industry development, the skills piece as well, all of which align to the council strategy. So trying to set that into context as to the next steps, but really the next step would be having the department here in the chamber at hopefully next month's meeting to go through this in a lot more detail.
Okay, thank you. Mr. McGilley, Councillor Hannah.
Dermot,
can you switch yourself off? Dermot, can you switch off yours? Yeah, then go ahead now.
Okay, thanks, Chair. For Jonathan, I know there's a little bit of concern among the Kilkeel folk that the council is sort of lukewarm about some of the developments at the harbour. I don't actually agree with them, so I don't. And just for reassurance, I know I've spoke to Coroner on different occasions about this, and we all know that the fishing industry, especially along the coast of County Down, is a massive, so it is. And Kilkeel there's thousands of jobs that actually depend on it. Port of Ogie is the same, so it is, and on our glass, it's just the same. So the question I'm asking you, some of the things in this motion, are they duplicating what's actually taking place at the moment there? I assume as the Department of Agriculture is more or less taking the lead on this. I know the Finance Minister was down at Kilkeel Harbour not that long ago. So could you just confirm to me that we're not, if this, like, for instance, establish a project board made up of representatives from all parties, but is that a council liaison officer? It's a lot of that not taking place, because I've sat on in quite a lot of meetings and I'm involved in quite a lot of meetings over the Outer Harbours and Kilkeel, the development in Ardglass. So is there a possibility some of this might duplicate work that's actually going on at the moment?
I suppose, Chair, the work that's gone on to date has been, I suppose, steering groups to bring the current research to a conclusion. What the department, I mean, at the end of the day, the harbour is, you know, the development of both harbours primarily rests with the department, because they own the facilities. What they're suggesting is that they're putting together a structure that will move the actions forward out of the plan. So it'll be putting together a project board that will move the research forward. They have to obviously secure the resource to carry out the next round of technical studies, and that's the next piece of work once the SOC has been approved. So it really is, I suppose, at the end of the day, the department driving the project forward as per the blueprint that through the fishing seafood development program that has been outlined in that study. So that the structures that they would propose probably will be amended. There won't be a duplication of what's there already, because the work that would have went on to date will have been a structure that gets us to where we are now. What they're proposing is the implementation structures to implement the project, similar to what the council do when you're bringing a capital project forward, having a working group that moves that forward, or project teams.
Yeah, just on that there, Chair, whenever John was talking, I know there is this problem there all the time in Kilkeel, in particular about the new Outer Harbour, about the environmental impact assessment there. It seems to stall everything, so those the monies, I believe, will be there, so all there to do this, because a substantial amount of money was talked about over the last few months. I think, what was there, 73,000 for Kilkeel. There was nearly 100,000 for the three ports. So to get the whole thing moving there, what is the council actually doing to move it forward?
Well, Chairman,
do you understand where I'm coming from?
Yeah, well, we as a council, when we propose that we meet with the department at the next meeting of this committee, where they'll outline the governance that they propose to put in place to move the project forward, the council will have representation on those working groups. We are already working with, Kilkeel, the groups in Kilkeel and Ardglass, they would be represented and aligned very much to the economic development strategy. We have a skills and employability working group that would align very much to developing the skills programme. So we have structures in place that can slot in there as well to help move this forward. But ultimately, the project is the development of the harbour, which the department is best placed to at least initiate the process, because it is their harbour and it's their project to move forward. But the council will play its part and will have representation on those working groups and project boards.
Okay, thanks, Chair. I'm happy to support the motion, Solomon.
Okay, thank you, Councillor Hallett. Councillor Kern?
Chair, I think part of my question has been answered by Councillor Hannah and by Jonathan himself. But my question was, but while I support this motion, so it really got there, and all the elements in it got there, and the establishment of a project board made up of representatives from all parties, from the dedicated council office, a dedicated council office to liaise with Ardglass, Kilkeel, Portobello, Dara and Ards, North Down, to assist in the development and implementation of the respective project within our district. Now, what I wanted to ask the question was there on relation to that. Dara themselves, the department is going to, at the meeting with the information, that they're going to establish a project board. They're going to establish a project board themselves. And if we go down this road here, we'll have two project boards. And I could never see two project boards going in an agreement along the line that they'd want them to go on. And all I'm just asking now is, could we not work with a department when they're establishing the project board, work with them to bring our element, what we wanted to bring into it, to get that work together. So we have one project board that can go ahead with the development of the harbours and all.
Chairman, that's an issue for the committee to consider. I mean, the department will be here in September at this committee to outline their proposals for the structures, and that will be an opportunity to discuss with the department how that would move forward. But it was ultimately it's a decision for the committee on the notice of motion whether to adopt that to do that now or await the outcome of September's discussions. But that is the direction that the department are taking this. Are suggesting to take this through project boards to move the project forward. They are keen to build on the momentum that's there.
Sorry, Councillor Kern, Councillor Farr, can you switch off your microphone? Just
Councillor. Sorry. Are you saying, Jonathan, now that the department is now willing to accept two project boards? In relation to what you're saying there now, that was the only query that I had, because the rest of the motion, yes, is very much acceptable and I would support it all the way together. But I wanted to ask that question just exactly because in my mind, two project boards, we don't need two project boards at all, and we could hopefully work with the department to include what we wanted in the project board. But if we're going to say we have to make a decision tonight in relation to that, I just wanted an answer to that. Do we have to have two project boards?
The Chairman, the short answer to that would be no. The issue, the department are going to put in place their governance structures. If the council want to do something different, or that is up to the council, and I would imagine that would be the department's position, but we would need to ask them that. But we know that this is the structure that they are going to put in place and present to us next month. It might be an opportunity to discuss with them at that point whether this is something worth pursuing, but that is the direction they are taking it. It's not as if the study has been completed and they're trying to work out what the next steps are. They do have a clear path that they want to pursue.
Thank you, Mr. McGilley. Sorry, Councillor Park, Councillor McMurray was in before you. Are you? Sorry, Councillor Clark, can I have you need to switch off your microphone? Just Andy, can you put your microphone on, please?
I was purely just going to sum up, but all I would say is that if it would be more acceptable to defer the whole project board until we meet with the DIRA representatives, and that might be more more amenable given the sort of the direction of the feeling. I certainly don't want to reproduce work for the sake of reproducing work.
Okay, thank you.
I'll sum up after Councillor Clark.
And I thank Andy for that contribution, and that's what I was going to suggest, that we do meet DIRA and get a comprehensive oversight where they're at, what the timescales are. In regards to the council, they are fully committed, but it is a DIRA project, as the DIRA minister will be steering it, excuse the pun. But in my opinion, we have to hear firsthand what's happened, because I have very little information from DIRA in regards to where it's at, and even, you know, some of the supporting groups, you know, have difficulties at times getting information. So I think it'll be refreshing to get the information, and then we'll decide, do we have to set up, you know, an oversight board, or can we adapt the current board, if that's possible. We certainly don't want to, definitely don't want that. I think it's, you know, it's essential that we upgrade our harbours. You know, these are one of the main industries in our region. And it's vital that to be in a fair level playing field, that our harbours are upgraded, because at the end of the day you're competing with fishing communities right across these islands, and we have to be in the best place, you know, to compete, because so many jobs on the land are dependent on the fishing industry. It's not just, you know, the fishing boats and there's manufacturing, but there's also, you know, the rest of the businesses who survive on the fishing industry. So I think it's very important that we hear firsthand from Andrea, and I think we make our minds up then what we do in regards to the board. So Sinn Féin supported that ground.
Thanks, Councillor Clark. Councillor McKay, I see you've put in here a question. Oh, you're a non-member of the committee, but sorry. Glenn Dawes. Glenn, can you put it just into the chat there for record? Can you just put in a P or a Q there for into the instant messenger, please? I'll let Councillor McKay in first, if that's okay.
Thanks very much, Chair. Just again, as part of my interest, Neary Mundial's the union part of the
Councillor McKay, sorry, if we can just stop you there. We can't hear you. Is your microphone switched on or your volume up? Is your headset, is your earphone just down, or your speaker just down to your mouth there on your earphones?
Hard, pull your earphone down.
Wait a minute.
Councillor McKay, we'll maybe let Councillor Hannah or Councillor Riley come in just until you get yourself sorted there. Is that okay? Councillor Riley, if you want to come in there just while Councillor McKay is getting himself sorted.
Yeah, thanks very much, Madam Chair, for letting me in. I agree with Glenn. The motion basically highlights a lot of work that's already currently in progress. And I wanted to ask Jonathan, the work that was done by the very well-paid consultants that actually justified Kilkeel Harbour being included for very significant funding in the city deal, that was with basically hitting the head by the council at the last minute. But I would like to see a copy of the work that was done and the recommendations that come forward from those reports. Also, Chairman, the Southern Regional College has indicated that it wants to close its facility in Kilkeel, but the fishing industry representatives and ordinary fishermen are adamant that that facility should be used for the creation of a maritime college. There's two colleges, maritime colleges in the south, and five in GB, and there's none in Northern Ireland. And I would like the council to very strongly support the fishing representatives in asking that the SRC converts that into a maritime college, because one of the problems that we're facing now, I know investment's so important, but one of the big problems that we're facing is that getting actually crewmen to crew to man the fishing vessels, and unless people are sure that they're going to have a long-term career in fishing and get adequate training and all that goes with that, building up the infrastructure, the future of the fishing industry is not assured unless we can assure that we have people to participate in years to come. So those are just two points. Just like, I support the motion, I've no problem with it, but as I say, it's basically highlighting what's going on at present. But I'd ask Jonathan, could he supply the results of the studies that were done in relation to the Kilkee or the City deal, and also can we indicate to the fishing representatives that we will support their call for a maritime college to be set up in Kilkee? Thank you, Madam Chair.
Hey, Mr. McGill, do you want to come in on that?
Sure. Just to be clear, the studies that were carried out initially were for the Kilkeel area only. They weren't directly done by Citydale. They were completed by the Strategic Investment Board, funded through DERA, the Council, and the Fish Producers Organisation, just to be clear on that. But yeah, those studies, that I can make that available. There's no issue with that. In relation to the issue around SRC, there is a consultation currently open if the elected members want to adopt that as a position that can be fed back to the college. I know that the consultation has, I think, been circulated to all elected members for comment, but if the council want to adopt that as a position, we can feed that back to the consultation.
Madam Chair, can I just ask Jonathan, sorry for coming back in.
Very quickly, Councillor Riley.
Can I just ask Jonathan, what is the actual progress on the technical investigation into the outer harbour? How far advanced is that, or has it even started yet?
Thanks. Sure, that will be, once the SOC has been approved, that will be the next stage of the technical works that the department will then engage, and that will be part of the discussion at next month's meeting as to what the timeline is. My understanding is that those will commence ASAP, as in be procured in this financial year. However, that meeting next month will be an opportunity to maybe get some detail around that in terms of the timeline. Currently, that work isn't ongoing, but it will kickstart with the approval of this report and the SOC arising from it.
Thank you very much.
Okay, I'm going to let
just very quickly. Councillor Ray is going to make out a proposal. I'll second his proposal. I think it would make sense to have a marine college in Kilkeel, particularly looking at future technologies as well, in renewables and that. I think it would be very sensible to take this approach. So I have a happy second.
Thank you, Councillor.
I formally propose that, Madam Chair. There's a meeting coming up now on the 17th with the SRC and fishermen's reps, and I know the councillors have been invited. I think all seven mooring councillors have been invited. So, an official position from the council, that would be very helpful.
Okay, well, Councillor Clark has seconded that proposal, so that's okay, thank you. Councillor McKee, do you want to come in now?
Came in
so, we can't hear you, Councillor McKee, unfortunately.
Do you hear me better now, Chair?
That's it, yeah, we can hear you now, go ahead.
Yeah, I hope you hear me clear. Just my interest in Kilkeel Harbour, and that's really why I just joined here. As an Erie Mooring Down Ulster Union Party councillors, we support this notice of motion on the Fishing and Seafood Development Programme Report. I have had a keen interest in everything that goes on at the Kilkeel Harbour. I worked at Boat Repairs for a few years. There have been a number of feasibility studies and reports in the last 30 years, but nothing concrete has come out from them. I welcome written confirmation of our support to the Ministers of DERA, Department of Economy and Finance. This is a much larger project to extend the harbour piers out to deeper water to facilitate larger vessels, because it makes the prospect of increasing all activities into a reality. Larger fishing vessels mean more fish catches, landing, more need for processing, more fish and shellfish sales, greater opportunity for enclosed slipways, much greater space for new factories, sheds, offices. Some of these will facilitate a modern fishing exploration hub that would explore and research better use of more environmental means of catching fish, should it be by introducing greener methods and types of fishing tackle or empowering fishing vessels. All of this can be achieved by spending almost £100 million in Uri Moreland Down fishing harbours. It will add greatly to our employment levels and returning millions into our economy. I am encouraged by the work of DERA this far, but would very much like to see a meeting with DERA and the elected members to hear of their key findings. Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you, Councillor McKay. And I suppose, as Ms. McGilley has outlined, DERA will be attending the meeting next month, so we'll get more information from them at that time. Councillor McMurray, would you like to sum up? I don't think there's anyone else looking to come in there.
No, thank you, Chair, and thank you to all the councillors. Again, yeah, it's just it really is just I appreciate there have been meetings with the Department of Finance and the Harbour and representatives from there. But no, it's just again just really to reiterate just how the council here places itself within this development programme, and just as some of the other councillors are more articulate than I, sort of the relevance and the contribution that the Kilkeel and Hourglass Harbours make to the economy. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Councillor McMurray. Okay, so if we're happy enough to move on then to item number 5, which is the notice of motion from Councillor Clark.
Okay, thanks very much, Chair. And I read the motion in at the last council meeting, and Councillor McGrew seconded it. So just speaking of the motion, I'll try to be brief, Chair. Basically what the motion is calling is just we have a strategic approach to motorhomes and campervans visiting our region. There's an increasing number of campervan owners and motorhome owners, particularly during COVID. It was a respite, an opportunity for people to get away and to get out of their house. But it brought then, obviously, it brought tensions in the local community where local residents couldn't use the car park. And particularly in Castle Park, I think there's about 70 campervans in it, which you can understand if you have a young family and you're trying to, you know, access premises in the street, in the main street, you'd be very frustrated. And given the weather and that we had in, over the July in particular, we have seen it right across the region. You know, it's not just Newcastle, it is Warren Point, but there's other smaller areas who may benefit of a strategy where, and what I mean by the strategy is that we look at all our towns, right across our towns and villages, and see where the need is, see what our car parks are suitable, you know, for putting a number of motorhome bays in. And what I would think would, whatever suitable, you know, car parks or green provision that is available within the council, that then we look at maybe putting 4 in each of them, you know, so you're dispersing, you know, the large amount of motorhomes, but you're dispersing them right across the region, which is an economic benefit for everybody. And we should see this as an economic benefit. We want tourists to visit our district, our region. We put a lot of money into the marketing. We put a lot of money into our facilities. So certainly we want the people there. We want them to experience a really good time and revisit with their families. So I think we have to be positive in regards to dealing with it. There is issues with residents. You know, they will maybe never be happy with motorhomes coming, but I think the vast majority would be content if we had a strategy in place where it didn't put the pressures on particularly daytime facilities, their daytime parking facilities. And that's when people, our residents need them, our visitors need them. So we need to manage it in a more comprehensive way. Like they do in France, they manage them in a lot better way. And we also have to be mindful we're not competing with the private sector. The private sector invests a lot of money in, as the report says, invests a lot of money into their businesses. And the last thing you want to be doing is opening a load up and taking business away from the private sector. So I think we work with the private sector also. I'm aware of a number of people in rural areas looking to start motorhome provision. So maybe it's working with them also, you know, to get a good solution to this. A small cost may be involved. I've looked at Fife. There's a strategy, a similar strategy recently done, and they were looking around between £10 and £15, that type of for electric and water and obviously toilet disposal. So it's basically good, and the recommendation coming back from the officer is we carry out a consultation with the stakeholders and obviously we can do an online consultation for residents as well, but just to get the feelings and maybe get solutions to the problem. And many may say it's a good problem to have. If lots of visitors come into your area, you're doing something right. But it's like all tourism management, it has to be sustainable. We have to do it in a sustainable manner where people have a joyful experience, not be sort of under attack for parking their camper van. They've landed down by a family or whatever, don't know maybe the background of what's happening. So it's about taking that tension away from the issue, but resolving the issue and getting a permanent solution to the issue, because we did put put barriers on the Downs Road car parks, and then we also put them at the Glen River car park in Newcastle. But that then, and we put in additional then camper van parking spaces down in Castle Park. There was about a half a dozen to eight maybe camper vans spots. So we're sort of kicking the can down the road slightly. I think we have to, get our strategy and make it fit for purpose, that people have a joyful experience, but residents also can go about their daily business. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Councillor Clark. I'm just conscious that we're using both systems here. So, Councillor Andrews. I think it already has been seconded.
Thanks very much. Okay.
Okay.
General, thanks to her. And first of all, I'd like to thank Councillor Willie Clark for bringing forward this motion and for the officers for presenting their report following submission to a previous council meeting in recent times. The paper recognises the increased tourism demand and consumers who would have went on foreign holidays are now on staycation, staying at home, and many visitors coming to our district, and such increased numbers, all of which are to be welcomed and hopefully the shape of things to come. We do need to look at and devise a suitable policy that will be amenable to both motorhome owners who come from and visit our district, and also the residents and inhabitants of resorts, etc. And ask ourselves the question, what are we going to do? And we should be looking at the likes of other resorts, towns and attractions that bring so many to them, be it to hotels, B&Bs, the caravanning, camping, and see what they're doing and what we can learn from them, and put in place similar provisions for a growing popularity of motorhomes and other homegrown activities since lockdown, more so than before and before it. A prime example would be the likes of Carlingford, who work in tandem with other providers in the area who cater for motorhomes right across the spectrum, to deliver a first-class tourism provision, which has so many positive spin-offs on the local economy, the businesses, shops, etc. And I do recognise concerns that local residents face with the likes of parking, etc. And we need to address these and produce a roadmap for the future to deal with the ever-increasing staycation demand that we've all witnessed. And as a committee charged with ERT for our district, we should be working to provide for better facilities for motorhomes, and also in tandem with our local service providers, businesses, including the residents, in moving this forward. I know in one of the action points that it was suggested a potential meeting, I would recommend that we do invite the likes of the Motorhome Association or the relevant association that would be the overall arts and body for motorhome owners and all, and they should be invited along also, so that everybody can sit around the table and have an input into such a very important issue that's before us. So thanks very much, Chair. Thanks.
Thank you. Councillor Hannah, Councillor McMurray was just in before you and the instant messenger. Do you mind?
Oh, that's okay.
Just Councillor McMurray.
Thank you, Chair. And
can you put on your microphone, Councillor?
Is it on? It's not on.
That's okay.
Chair, no, I really welcome the motion, and I mean, I've been in contact with Councillor Clark as well. I propose a slight amendment or addition to it, and it's basically, it comes off the term that Councillor Clark uses when it comes to freedom camping. The thing is, it's not just the camper vans which are proving a real issue in our district. We have a serious issue when it comes to tents, using the car parks and some of our public spaces with regards to that. I can name you 20 sites that are regularly used and unfortunately abused by those using them for overnight stays. I mean, if you know me, you know I'm quite partial to a bit of camping, a bit of wild camping, and going off and taking myself out, and it's very, very rewarding. But this is an initiative about that. This is about parties. This is about people going out and actually just completely disregarding the environment. There's a site publicised on social media there where it took four. In, they weren't obviously weighted ton, but essentially like 4 ton gravel bags. It took four of those to move the detritus left behind by people. So this is a big issue. It's really detracting away from our environment, really detracting from our countryside. So I mean, I'm not sure how you want it, but essentially it is to motorhome and campers and those wishing to use public spaces for overnight stays. And just to kind of develop a public space overnight stay strategy, which includes both motorhomes and tents for the area. I mean, I've circulated Democratic Services. I'm not sure if they want to sort of circulate it around just as a means of amendment. But yeah, another thing I would just add as well, Chair, is there has been an interagency meeting that has been ongoing for quite a while, which as Chair of ERT, maybe you've been invited to, that I was privy to. It was with the Mourns councillors. I mean, I proposed a motion back at full council in February regarding the development of a sort of an outdoor working group, committee or whatever, in order to deal with issues like this. It went to the March AHC, and since then it's sort of fallen off the face of the earth, if that makes sense. And again, you know, I don't want to detract from Councillor Clark's motion because it's a very good motion. It's a welcome motion. But again, I think if we are serious as a council about how we interact with the outdoors, of which this is part of, then we need to get serious about it. So again, that's just the point I would like to make in that regard too. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, thanks. Councillor Clark, are you
happy to
accept that amendment?
Yeah.
Thank you. Thanks, Councillor Clark. I'm going to take in Councillor Hannah and Councillor Riley, and then I'll let Mr. Patterson respond. Is that okay, Councillor Hannah?
Okay, thanks, Chair. Thanks, Wally, for bringing that forward, because over the last number of weeks and few months, RVs have become extremely popular, so they have, and there's people possibly got involved with them that never was involved with them again. So I'd be happy that this council come up with some sort of strategy to manage this whole problem. Just a few things here now. Is it Andy that's taking these questions? Right. Just on it there, I know on a couple of occasions I was down about Newcastle, just for instance, and even the Mourn Esplanade in Kilkeel. It seems to have turned into something similar to what Newcastle is there, along with the leisure centre, Kirkwick, which is council property as well. These camper vans, for talk's sake, it really is camper vans is the problem here, so it is. They set up, they stay overnight, so they do, and I've actually witnessed them, so I have releasing their grey water, what you call grey water, down into drains and that. Possibly, I don't know what else is there. In Newcastle now, I've had a number of people complaining to me about when these camper vans set up, outside it they would set their tables up and they would be socialising, if that's the right way to put it there, quite late at night. Question for you, Andy, these camper vans come along in the parking, would that be classed as wild camping in the sense that it's illegal to stay in these camper these car parks overnight? I've spoken to quite a number of caravan site owners who do RV campsites. Wally talked about, what was it, 70? Wally, you said it was not Castle Park. You see, in an ordinary campsite, there has to be 5 metres of separation between the caravan or the campers, simply because they're a bum really waiting to happen, in the sense that they've at least 2 cylinders of gas in it, so they have quite a bit of fuel in one hour. If anything did happen on council property, would the council be held responsible for permitting them to actually sit on site overnight, and that possibly could happen there if there was an accident? So there's no way. I've seen them sitting myself, Sam. They're literally within maybe a yard or two. There's just enough room to open doors to get in and out of the camper vans. Is that possibly a problem there that we need to address ourselves? When caravan sites have to address that there, they have to have all the safety precautions in place. I think something needs to be done about that. So it's just simple safety. So there's a couple of questions for you, Andy. Hopefully you'll be able to answer them. And the third question to you is, Andy, has there ever been an economic impact assessment done on camper vans coming to a particular area? Because I believe these camper vans, the economic impact would be quite low, because I don't think they would be actually spend a massive pile of money in the shops, and that they will bring most of their food and everything with them. Yes, maybe we'll spend some money, but is it the thing to be encouraging too much? We do need to get a handle on it, so we do. I know Kilkeel has that problem there, especially in Mourne Esplanade, because I've seen it the morning after a whole lot of them left, and you can actually see where they've just let go of the water just on the tarmac, and it can be quite smelly, so it can. So a number of questions there, Andy, if you can answer them for me, please.
I'm going to let Mr. Patterson in. It was remiss of me not to let him in just after Councillor Clark read his motion. So there's quite a few there. So if you want to go ahead, Andy.
Thanks, Chair. So just to take those questions in turn, with regards to the requirements of overnight stays in specific car parks, it really depends on the legislation that's in place for particular areas. So there's off-street parking order. There's bylaws. So it really would depend on what's in place for particular car parks and if that property is owned by council. So I suppose with regard to specific sites, you know, if you've questions on those, we can come back to you, certainly, Glenn. In terms of the potential fire risk, we have taken advice from a legal perspective and from our colleagues in building control with regards to potential fire risk of particular sites. And certainly we have bylaws in place at certain sites that we would be looking to enforce and have enforcement officers visiting those sites to discourage overnight stays. But as it says in the paper, there's a large onus placed upon responsible use of those car parks and by the motorhome owners themselves. So we're really, I suppose, reliant on that responsible use and responsible behaviour. And I appreciate there has been a lot of coverage with regards, you know, particular sites, specifically Castle Park in Newcastle and the amount of motorhome visitors there. But certainly our enforcement officers have been out and doing as much as we can within our powers to try and discourage that. So in terms of economic impact assessment, there has been work, I understand, done with Tourism NI previously, looking at the potential economic impact of motorhome tourism across Northern Ireland. So certainly as part of the consultation, we're proposing to meet with tourist board officers to look at that economic assessment. We've had representation from the motorhome user groups, and certainly I suppose from the motorhome users themselves or their association, they would say they spend a lot on their motorhomes, and they do spend a lot when they visit locations. So we'll look at that carefully, and I suppose it is a balancing act. We do want to welcome tourists, as been mentioned previously, but we don't want that to be at the detriment of the district or residents, etc. So we're proposing further consultation with those specific stakeholders and groups, and then to bring that information back to members to consider as part of an overall strategy.
Can I follow up one more question then, Chair?
Very quickly, Councillor Connell.
What has the council been doing there to try to discourage 70 camper vans in that particular car park? I've seen them, sir. Or I don't know if there were 70, Willie, but there was quite a few, and they were tight together. As the council, I know they've seen wee duggets on their windows. I don't know if they're fines or just information leaflets there telling them it's maybe not a good idea to have some money in there. Is that what the council's way of addressing it is at the moment?
Chair, I can come back in on that. So we've enforcement officers out visiting the site, as I said, and we're taking legal advice, certainly, in terms of what I suppose powers are available in order to force the legislation that's in place that doesn't allow overnight stays in that particular car park. So following that legal advice, further action will be taken.
Thank you, Mr. Patterson. Okay, Councillor Riley, you're next in for a question.
Thanks, sir. Just welcome the motion. Very, very timely. The Mourne's area over June and July, the number of campers was incredible. Up from the south, over Scotland, and they were at times camping everywhere. And I actually raced it with Conor Mallon about, because it was a Scottish car or a camper van group had asked me about where they could empty their tanks. I think Glenn referred to the brown water, whatever, but I think they did get facilitated somewhere. And what Willie says about the private sector providing excellent facilities is exactly right. But they were completely booked out over that period. We still had people coming. You know, we're promoting Mourne very heavily as a tourist destination, and people see that. People in the Republic, people in Scotland, people in England, they're seeing that, and they're coming here in huge numbers now. And we have to get the infrastructure in place to facilitate those people. And Conor Mallon did mention that he was going to come back to me with some ideas on how we could facilitate camper vans, RVs, whatever you want to call them, with their tanks if they're full, and replenish them with water and stuff. The water or not doesn't seem to be an issue, but getting their tanks emptied does seem to be an issue for them. And even the Slate Mill Road, the Naval down beside me here, it was chatter block with them for a number of weekends. Some locals were phoning me to complain that, you know, it was even access to the beach was being denied at one stage because there were so many of them parked up down there. And they were all Scottish people. So it's good to see them coming. They do go into Kilkeel and Newcastle and Mourne Point and spend their money. So it's good to see them coming, and we should encourage them. But we'll have to get that basic infrastructure in place to facilitate them. Thank you.
Okay. Mr. Patterson, you'd like to respond to those comments?
Thanks, Chair. I note those comments, and officers are aware of the, I suppose, the challenges of the particular sites with regards to the amount of visitors coming in general, but motorhomes specifically. But we'll look at addressing those concerns with the information that we bring back to committee. And just to note, Chair, also that Council does have its own facilities, the likes of Anne Long and Cabrone specifically. Camper vans can book in there and dispose of waste and get access to services and things. So, but we note the members' concerns, and we'll bring proposals back once considerations have been reviewed.
Thanks, Mr. Patterson. I'm going to bring in Councillor McGrew now as a member of committee, and Councillor McKee, you can come in after Councillor McGrew, okay?
Thank you very much, Chair. You know, when we started this amalgamation between our two councils, every councillor without fail recognised the significance of tourism for our district, and we're blessed to have, you know, areas of outstanding natural beauty. I appreciate that the officers are going to come back to us with additional information. You know, these motorhomes cost a lot of money. I actually happen to know somebody who sells motorhomes and caravans, and certainly, you know, the last two COVID summers have been bumper summers for them, as people have had an opportunity to save a little bit of money and to purchase these types of vehicles. You know, now they are expensive, so you can only assume that people intend to use them next year as well, and the year after that. It's not something you buy for one season and park up and forget about. So we need to really get ourselves prepared. What I would like maybe the officers, if possible, to have a look at, if we could actually look and see, are there any planning applications in from the private sector to provide any sort of facilities for motorhomes, camping, that sort of thing? Because, you know, we need to make sure that if we're doing this, that we're doing it right. And they need the proper facilities. They need to make sure that those facilities are going to be maintained and cleaned, you know. And I would just be curious to see if there is anybody in the private sector looking at this with a view to doing something themselves. And if that information could be brought back to us at some stage, Andy, I think that would be beneficial, because I think there's a great opportunity for someone there. You know, but certainly it's the way forward. We can't limp on as we're going. We want them here. We need them here. And we need to be providing services that will keep them here. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor McGrew. Mr. Patterson?
Certainly, through the Chair, we can look at that information as well and bring detail back to members.
Thank you. Councillor McKee, if you'd like to come in now.
Yes, thanks, Chair. Do you hear me this time?
Yes, hello. Good and clear.
Yeah, you know what the reason for that was? Because the mic works better at your mouth than the top of your head. So I discovered that. No, I got into a conversation with a guy, and I'm sure most of you got know a name, by the name of David Scott. He's a local man, and I think he sent emails to the officers and councillors as well. And in our debate, because I discovered maybe what Glenn had said earlier about the lesser amount of money that to spend in the area, because we're always knowing that they would actually load it, a lot of them would have loaded their vans up with foodstuffs. They're only going for a couple of days somewhere. And they had all the gear with them. There was not a great deal of money spent in the various towns or villages where they were staying. So there was a bit of a chat around that one. But then, because I said that, then he presented me with invoice, because he's one of these people who would have his own van, and he sent me a few invoices to check out. And fair enough, maybe over 30 days, there was the best part of £1,000 spent here and there. So then he put me in touch. So just for everybody's interest, there's a website known as Campra, capital C-A-M, small p, capital R-A, website for caravans. And there is interest, I didn't even get reading it all, but there is interesting information in there for vans and their spend. So one of the things, I must say, we do welcome that notice of motion, very, very good notice of motion, and particularly the summer we have come through, we have seen the good side, we've also seen the troublesome side. As counters, I think we've got it under the chin quite often about, as you mentioned, in the Island Car Park, with so many vans in there, and what I was hearing, that there might be allocated spaces for the van, but by the time they opened doors and put steps out, those gaps in between were literally lost till anyone else parking in there. So therefore, every van had at least one and a half spaces maybe taken up. So that's something that possibly need to look at. The thing about it is, yes, on another issue, there was a disabled car park along the main road, and I was told by someone who has a disability member within their family that van sat there for 3 days and three nights taking up that space. And so that has to be unfair as well. And the thing about it is, we have got to be very, very careful not to turn people away, because as you say, Councillor McGree did say that we need them. And exactly right, we do need these people. But there has to be some sort of a balance. And also without stepping on the toes of the caravan sites, because that's very critically important. Those guys have obviously spent a lot of money in preparation to make it right, and then they're obviously charging. And then we can set them up in places much less. Now, Anna Long was mentioned there, and I have been in discussion with some of the users and some of the officers. And indeed, I am told that if you put £2 into the wee coin slot machine for getting your water and electricity, that could literally run for as long as maybe 10 days before that money actually runs out. So that is very cheap. And then I asked the question, because I was told that these people who were staying in the motorhome had nowhere to shower. And then I was told, because there's a shower just across the roadway to it, I was told because they are paying so little amount of money, they're not really entitled to showers. So I don't know, maybe something needs looked at there. There's obviously a bigger discussion to be done, and definitely research needs to be done on the whole thing. Thank you very much, Chair. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor McKee. I think the officers will note your comments there, and we'll get back to you in due course. Councillor Clark, would you like to come in to sum up?
Briefly, Chair. I'd like to thank everybody for the support and the amendment as well. Happy to accept the amendment. There's a number, as Andy pointed out, there's a number of areas where it's blighted by, you know, camping, people landing up with. They're just disposable tents. They've no value on the equipment. The place is left strewn in litter, glass, bottles. I'm thinking of the green area up in Donner Park. You know, that area has had an awful time in regards to these types of incidents. So if we can sort of, you know, incorporate that and see, is there something that can be done in regards to camping as well, you know, tents, then that would be worthwhile as well, looking into. And it would certainly reduce the clean-up, you know, in them types of area. It was in regards to the amount they spend, I don't have the figures. I'm sure you can go to, you know, some of the stakeholders and they would have the figures. But I'm not sure of any independently reviewed figures, but I'll say that they're out there, they're bound to be. But there's a lady contacted me from Donegal Sinn Féin office, and she had been down for the weekend. And she didn't have a great experience. She loved the town and stuff, but it was a harassment of because they were camping or in the camper van in the car park, where people put notices on their caravans, which they were forged. They were on a council headed paper, and it was saying that they'd be fined £80. So that's the type of welcome your woman got. And she was saying, listen, there's no signs here. I didn't do anything wrong or whatever, you know. I'm just parking. I paid my tax, my road tax or whatever. I'm entitled to park here, same as that car over there. So she said she had spent, in 2 days, they'd spent between £400 and £500, you know, up the street for a meal and whatever, and up to the cafes and a few shops and stuff like that. So if everybody was doing that, that's a lot of money. And because the camper vans, motorhomes, they want to be in the town centres. That's what's creating the pressures. And that's so they can go up the street to avail of, you know, a bar or a restaurant or whatever, or as I said, the shops and that. They want to be close by. And I think that's what's putting the pressure on it. But I have no doubt there's economic value. The people are spending money. I think that will be proven right. In regards to just so overall, I think it's a piece of work, yes. I think there's a lot of work has been done. Various different government departments would have, you know, the information that we require. There's a number of, as I said, councillors across Scotland, England. They're bringing in strategies also. They're under the pressure as well, the same pressures that we're facing. The most beautiful spots in the district are going to be swamped. So the strategy is about to sort of distribute across the district, that, you know, the economic value as well and the pressures as well, you know. So happy enough for the support. Thank you.
Thanks, Councillor Clark. Okay, we're happy to move on then. With that, we'll go on to item number 6, which is the notice of motion from Councillor Sharvin, Trainer and Kern. Let me see, is it Councillor Sharvin or Councillor Kern, are you coming in on that, or is it?
Yeah, I'm coming in, but Councillor Sharvin has proposed it and put it to council the last time around. It was transferred to ourselves together. So I just want to speak on it. So
that's okay. Go ahead, Councillor Kern. That's fine.
Well, I didn't mean, as we all know, as Dan Patrick has got these glasses on. As Dan Patrick moves out of lockdown, and the appointment of a town centre manager has an enormous potential to help revive the town at a time when ambitious plans are being advanced for the renovation of the former Irish State Police Station and the car park and other buildings. I and my party colleagues view the appointment of as providing a vital link between business communities, government departments and statutory agencies. Having a single point of contact in the heart of a town for traders and investors is very important. So in moving this matter forward, it would be of benefit to establish a working group with the Patrick councillors and key stakeholders to determine the way forward. And a town centre manager would be one of those way forwards that we discussed. But one thing that I would underline, we must have a time frame on this working group because we don't want it to sit on the shelf all the time. So I would propose the motion.
Okay, Councillor Kern, if you just want to switch off your microphone there. Councillor Sharvin, I see you want to come in here and comment. Councillor Andrews is on the committee, so I'm going to take him in first, and then I'll take yourself in, okay?
Thanks very much, Chair. I just want to be brief on this. I know I'm only too happy to formally second Councillor Kern's proposal and endorse the sentiments and views that he's expressed. And thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you. Councillor Sharvin, saying you second the motion initially at Council, I'm going to let you come in now very briefly.
Yeah, thank you, Chair, and I thank my colleagues for proposing seconding. Chair, really the reason why I brought this motion to Council was to highlight the ever-facing challenges that Downpatrick Centre faces pre-COVID and post-COVID. And I do take note in the report that the officers have shared around the development of Irish Street, which we as councillors have battled for and is a dormant department-led project with no monies from council committed. The Church Street Chair is also mentioned a project, again, that is a dormant department-led project with £20,000 from council to be committed later on in this agenda. Chair, furthermore, it's the council does not recruit any more town centre managers, as it states in the report. But in the Legacy Down Council, we did, and it was a great success when businesses felt the council invested in them and the town they do business in. Chair, I want to just highlight some of the real challenges Downpatrick are facing compared to other towns right across the north. Around the main centre of Downpatrick today, there's more than 25 retail units sitting empty, ranging from larger units to small business units, and this doesn't even include office units. This shows the sheer challenge that we as a council face and need to support in creating new businesses and providing jobs for our local residents. You look across the council's websites, particularly the Visit the Moor Mountains and our tourism page. The images being shared there, Chair, there's none of Downpatrick. And under the offers page, it's only Newry and Newcastle being promoted. If you look at the top things to do on the website, three of the top five things to do aren't Downpatrick, but yet they are not promoted as such. If we move to the Newry Moor and Down business page, out of the 15 study cases that are shared, one is from Downpatrick. Surely there is a lot more businesses that have been a success that Newry and Moore and Down Council has been involved in but aren't promoting. If I move to the Facebook social media for the council, the address is shown as Newry, and that really emphasises the feeling that the businesses in Downpatrick have towards the council today. They don't feel like the council is recognising the businesses that Downpatrick have and the real need of investment, both resource, events and monies into Downpatrick. If you consider the Enterprise Week 2020, out of the 18 events that I was able to identify from the brochure, 14 of those 18 events are Legacy Newry area based, only 4 for Downpatrick. You know, this is really showing the inequalities that Downpatrick is having, and the town centre manager really would have a full resource, fully focused about regenerating the county town. Chair, I'm going to wrap up shortly, but I really want to focus on the tourism strategy that is of real interest that this council signed off and was constructed. And the challenge to the officers that I'd have is what we've actually achieved from that tourism strategy for Downpatrick yet. And really, there's nothing. So I'll read some extracts direct from the strategy. So Downpatrick is one of Ireland's earliest settlements and has significant sites within its vicinity. Visitors do not stay long. What have we done to address that inadequate accommodation? Only Stephen McGarian from Denver's Hotel himself has scattered accommodation in Downpatrick since this strategy has been done. Nothing else has been delivered. The evening economy remains weak and restaurant provision is limited. Again, what have we as a council done to address the weak evening economy, and what have we done to support the restaurant provisions going forward? Furthermore, despite regeneration work, and this is the council stating this in their strategy, the town has a tired look to it. What have we as a council done to address that tired look? Further in it, it talks about attracting investment to the hotel sector, talks about the St. Patrick's theme, and really having a joined up experience. But really, what I'd say, Chair, is it says about having a visitor orientated being a priority in Downpatrick, but we've closed the visitor centre and handed that into St. Patrick's Centre to run. The council gives support through an SLA. An emphasis on building a vibrant evening economy and a sense of place. Again, Chair, that's not there. So, Chair, the real reason why we're asking our town centre manager in Downpatrick is to really have resource from this council that is going to fully focus about bringing Downpatrick out of COVID and really thrive and put a plan together for the next 3 to 5 years of addressing it. So, Chair, I really would urge all of the councillors on this committee to support this, because if we don't, Downpatrick might as well close up shop, and it'll be on this council's watch that we've allowed that.
Thank you, Councillor Sharvin. You're definitely pushing my goodwill there, going on like that there. I was saying you're not a committee member.
I'm tying myself, Chair.
I'm going to let Mr. McGilley come in now to respond to a few of those comments, and then I'll take people in as listed afterwards.
So, Chair, the paper again is set out there that kind of gives an overview of some of the issues, and I've tried to identify a number of initiatives where the council has worked with the private sector to move them forward. I suppose, yes, Councillor Sharvin's alluded to revitalisation schemes that are funded by the department, but the council make those happen on the ground and deliver them. So there's a resource input there from council to make those happen that involves elected member time and officers' time. I think all of the main thrust of the paper has been kind of covered in both commentaries from the proposer and seconder, and really the issue I think is key in that if there is to be a town centre manager, you need a plan in place. So I suppose it's around to move this forward is let's meet, you know, with the private sector to see how they want the town move forward, because a town centre manager is one thing and is a resource, but they will also need a resource and a plan to work to have effect. So that is, I suppose, let's see what are the options to move this forward in terms of what the plan would be and how it will be resourced, and look at things like business improvement districts and those sort of things, and let's, you know, present back to the committee an options paper as to how to move this forward. I suppose in relation to Councillor Curran's query around the timescales, following tonight's meeting, your report goes to the council for approval in September, and we would be anticipating that we would move that forward with meeting as early as we can after that date, so we could start working on that post this meeting and try to set something up with local representatives to try to develop a plan to bring back to the council, which will have to feed into your rate setting process moving forward through your strategic finance working group. But let's look and see how we can do that.
Thank you, Mr. McGilley. Councillor Hannah, if you want to come in.
Thanks, Chair. I've listened to this, and to be quite honest with you, I have a little bit of concern about it. If you go down this road of appointing a town centre manager for the likes of Downpatrick, you can start looking across the whole area. Warren Point maybe could be doing with something like that. Kilkeel would be delighted to have something like that. Castle Well, there's Balnahince, there's Sinfield, there's quite a number of places. If you go down the road of putting a manager in exclusively for Downpatrick, why should you? That's my thoughts on it. As you alluded to, Jonathan, there'll be quite a bit of resources to support whoever that manager is. I suspect it would be duplicating some of the staff work that is actually going on at the moment. So at this moment in time, there's no way I would ever support that going in just at this moment in time. I think the council should look at it from a slightly different and increase maybe staff efforts in the way they've been doing at the moment, because you have done a considerable amount of work. So at this moment in time, I'll not be supporting the motion, Chair.
Okay, Councillor Savage.
Yes, Chair. Can you hear me okay, Chair?
Yes, go ahead.
Yeah. Well, Chair, as somebody who had their own business in Downpatrick for nearly 10 years and went to school in the town, I've seen how tired Downpatrick has become. I saw it firsthand during the Westminster election campaign. I met with a lot of the businesses, and a lot of the concerns that Councillor Sharvin has raised are genuine concerns. Downpatrick is our county town with a very proud history, economically, socially, and from a tourist perspective, with a significant heritage linking it to St. Patrick, our patron saint. And there has been, and nobody can tell me any different, a huge lack of investment in our county town over the last number of decades. And I think that there's a unique need in Downpatrick that the likes of Kilkeel, which has a vibrant fishing industry, Downpatrick doesn't have those industries. And it's a unique location within our district. And in order to regenerate Downpatrick, there needs to be inward investment. There has to be a catalyst for that. And as somebody who's a Newry councillor, I've seen it firsthand the difference that a town centre manager made pre-city status in getting us the status we needed as a city to grow and develop. And on the back of that flowed the Newry bid. But we're at a stage of the development in Patrick where I believe it does need a unique input, one that we have seen has proven to be a success in the past. And I think that Patrick's need, because of its lack of core industry, Newcastle, for example, has tourism very much as its epicentre because of its location on the coast. And I believe there's a need to regenerate the heart and soul of Downpatrick. We have had the fight for one of the biggest economic drivers that it's had for years, which was its own hospital. And if that was ever to close, and we've had the fight for decades to make sure that it stays, the impact on that is huge. So what we need to do, I believe very firmly, is to get a working group together, as Dermot has outlined. I fully support the motion as proposed by my councillor colleagues in Downpatrick, because I have a strong affinity with the town. And I believe there has to be a root and branch review of how our council looks at how we're going to engage with and develop economically and strategically Downpatrick, which, by the way, when these two councils amalgamated, was seen as one of the two twin pillars of economic development across our district, that Downpatrick would be one centre and Uri would be the other, and their hinterlands would benefit accordingly. And I think our approach has been, and this is a Uri councillor speaking, lopsided, and we've got to address it. And I very much welcome this proposal, and I think if councillors are being fair to the sharing of our responsibilities and the sharing of our resources across this council area, they take a long, hard look at the neglect that there has been in Downpatrick, and it's about time we need to address it. We are revitalising our city. We are revitalising our tourist attractions and our tourist towns, and we are revitalising our rural areas in the likes of the Ring of Gullion. Downpatrick needs to be next on the agenda, and we need to be very serious about it, and I fully support the comments made by Councillor Sharvin because they're factually correct. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Councillor Savage. Your comments have been noted. Councillor Clark?
Yeah, Chair. I suppose I was on Down Legacy Council when Eric Tomasini was the town centre manager, and he had a responsibility for Ballinhedge and Newcastle, and he liaised with Chamber of Commerce, if they were available in the town, or whatever businesses would want to get involved. I think we have to see the model, what it's going to look like. I think what Glenn says right. You know, every town would be looking for a town centre manager once this goes through. The model, how it's going to be rolled out, I think Councillor Savage talked about the Newry Bid type project. That's a vehicle, a very useful vehicle, maybe. And have a discussion with the businesses. Do they want to become involved in that type of forum? Do they see the benefits in it? Now, when Eric was the town centre manager, yes, he had some success as well, but at times he had difficulties with the traders also. You know, he was trying to take them one direction, a more cosmopolitan type feel, and traders at the time didn't, buy into some of the stuff, but some of the achievements were good. So I'd be more interested in the model, what it'll look like, and maybe it's the next meeting when it comes back and we see, the options paper. I have no problem letting this go through now at this stage till we get a look at that. We want to see all our towns and indeed our city as well, but we want to see them all doing well. And if there's a feeling that Downpatrick is lagging behind for whatever reason, then that has to be looked at, but we have council employees who are studying these details on a regular basis. There's DEA coordinators studying this information. And there's also different business proposals, for the regeneration of Downpatrick at the minute. I suppose it's about what Downpatrick people want, what the Downpatrick traders want, and maybe work on some of the compatible pieces of work. But as I say, it'll not be the panacea. Like a town centre manager will not change fortunes overnight. That's not going to happen. There's a number of good work that's been undertaken by the council and then through the Department of Communities as well. It's currently revitalisation projects. And you look what Downpatrick has. It's the Arts Centre. It's got museums. It's the Ballymote Centre. It's a leisure centre. Huge investment. Where people mightn't say there's a lot of investment, there's a lot of investment from council in Downpatrick. So I just want to put that in the record that there wasn't an underinvestment in Downpatrick over the decades. The underinvestment was in Newcastle. And as Anne Carr once said, she was a councillor, independent councillor from Newcastle. She said if Downpatrick or Down Council could take the mountains and the sea from Newcastle, they would, and put it in Downpatrick. So we look at Newcastle at the minute. We're still looking for a leisure centre. you know, with a swimming pool for local residents. And my constituents would certainly say to me, yeah, well, we need to push on with that type of project, you know, and council is working towards it. But some of these projects, we can't do everything at once, you know, because the rates will go through the roof. And councillors, you're all long enough about here to know that. We can't do everything in one go. And we have to try to do our best and use central government to get the investment in and to improve all our town centres right across the board. But as I say, I'm happy enough to let it go to the next stage.
Thank you, Councillor Clark. Some valid points, sir. Councillor Burgess.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, to be honest, I will be supporting this notice of motion here tonight from Councillor Curran and the SDLP, because I'll tell you what, Downpatrick is a forgotten town, has been the forgotten town, I think, since amalgamation of this council, no matter what anybody else wants to say here, because that's how the people feel that live in it. And people speak to me daily on how they feel at the northern end of this council feels neglected. So we really have to change here, and we need to put a bit of support down to this end. And maybe not just the town manager could look after Downpatrick. If he looked after the Rallin area and the Downpatrick area and give us a bit of a lift and see if we can get these towns and villages up and running. So, Chair, I will be supporting 100%, and I agree everything that Councillor Savage has said there.
Thank you, Councillor Burgess. Councillor Hanlon.
Thanks, Chair. In fairness, Councillor Clark covered off quite a lot of stuff I was going to mention. I think it's a bit disingenuous, the narrative coming out of Downpatrick. I mean, yeah, it absolutely needs investment, but it's getting it. It's getting Irish Street. We've got Church Street ongoing. There has been a lot of work done, and I just feel I'm actually a bit depressed listening to this tonight, as if it's like completely run down. There isn't a shop from one end of it to the other. Whenever we have really good facilities in the town, we have massive tourist attractions. We have stuff ongoing with the Kale Way. We've got very, very good established shops. And I would think if the business people were listening to it tonight, they would feel a wee bit disheartened, to be honest. Yeah, we can look at what this model will look at, but I do think there's work to be done within the DEA forum as well. That's what it's set up for, to promote the whole of the Downpatrick District electoral area, but to focus on the town centre on its own. To me, it feels like you're, you know, neglecting the rest of the DEA as well. So I just think, you know, yeah, we should be really careful in how we're actually promoting the county town rather than making it look run down. Celebrate what it has to offer and, you know, work together to try and get these schemes delivered. Go and chat to the business people and listen to what they want, because that's important. So I do welcome that the paper's coming. I'll support the motion and the point that I want to see what will come back from it. But I do think there's a lot of council officials doing a lot of work in the background, and it's about gelling that all together with the business community and the tourist offering that we have.
Thank you, Councillor Hanlon. Councillor Gibbons.
Thank you, Chair. Councillor Hanlon just hit the nail on the head. I was just going to say the same thing, that the DEAs have a lot to do here, and if we're talking about neglect, I would say that Warren Point has been neglected now for close to 40 years. I could be asking for three of these managers. So, you know, you could go on all night, and Glyn is spot on. He said at this comment at the very start, you know, you could, everybody could be pushing for a manager in each part of the district. But it'll be interesting to see what happens next. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Councillor Gibbons. So look, the paper was for noting, so we're all happy to note the content of the report as it stands, and then wait and see the findings of the appraisal, and then we can move forward after that. Everyone content? Okay, thank you. Are we happy enough then to move on to item number 7, which is the AONB NIEA Challenge Fund, and that's Mr McGilley taking that.
Chair, the paper tonight in front of you details an application that has been made and would have been tabled previously at the committee in relation to additional funding opportunity through the NIEA Challenge Fund to implement the action management action plans for the Ring of Gullion and for the Strangford Lock AOMB areas. Chairman, what we're seeking approval tonight is for the attached business case. We are anticipating some feedback from the department in August with a requirement to spend by the 31st of March, so time is of the essence. So we're seeking approval for the business case to accept the letter of offer when it arrives and to commence the procurement in line with the funding that is in place. Match funding has been secured through internal resources and through additional resource made available by the Council through the COVID Recovery Fund. So those are the recommendations, Chair, ahead in front of you.
Thank you, Mr. McGilley. So I need a proposer and a seconder for that, if possible, please. Mr. Mulgrew.
Sorry, I couldn't hear you at the Dunpatrick Centre, Dunpatrick Town Centre Manager. What was the final I put forward a motion so that they got there to go forward with that situation. I didn't hear what the outcome was of that.
Okay. The agreement was, we've moved on now to item number 7, but just for your own sake, Councillor Kern, I just asked if we were happy to note the content of the report, what was in the report, and we would wait and see what the findings were from the appraisal, and then before we move forward on it.
So would that be, that's not setting up a working group, with the Paddy Councils or key stakeholders to see how we go forward?
I left Mr. McGilley come in on that.
Yeah. Chair, I think that was the understanding, was that we would go out and do the consultation with the traders and bring
the Paddy Councillors too as well.
Yeah.
Okay, sorry, Chair. Thanks for that.
No problem. Is that okay now?
But I proposed it in a different term.
Yeah, I think that's no problem. Okay, thank you. Sorry. Councillor Mulgrew has come in here on the instant messenger. So, Dermot, can you switch off your microphone, please, and let Councillor Mulgrew in? And this is on item number 7. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you very much, Chair. I'm more than happy to propose the recommendations of the officers. You know, it's fantastic to see funding coming in, and especially, you know, funding that 85% funding. It's fantastic, and the work that is done by the staff looking after our AONB is just absolutely phenomenal. I know certainly, you know, the recommendations here and what the spend will be right across the district, which is very encouraging. And anything that sees money coming into our areas has got to be welcomed. So I'm more than happy to propose the recommendations of the officers. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor McGrew. Councillor Hannah.
Chair, I'm more than happy to second this here. As Councillor Mulgrew has said, any monies like that coming in, especially at that percentage, to be quite honest, will be a massive help to the whole area. So, happy to second it.
Thank you, Councillor Hannah. Okay, so we'll move on then to item number 8, which is the Derrymore Domains piece for funding. Mr. McGilley's picking that.
Chair, as the committee will be aware, this project has been ongoing for a number of years through development stage and more recently through implementation through funding secured through the local action group. Chairman, there has been ongoing discussion with the local peace partnership, and additional £50,000 has been secured for the project for the development, for further development of the project through a peace reflection area, and we're seeking approval tonight to approve the business case and proceed with the procurement to allow this project to be implemented ASAP.
Thank you, Mr. McGilley. Councillor Mulgrew.
Yeah, thank you very much, Chair. I just want to put on record, you know, my thanks to the officers of this council. When I joined council a number of years ago, the very first meeting I went to was with the Friends of Derrymore, and I actually remember dragging poor Andy around Derrymore while he was still employed by NITB, myself and another individual. And at that stage, people said that if I didn't stop dragging strange men around Derrymore, I'd probably end up getting a funny reputation. But there you have it. You know, look, this is one of the examples where, you know, the council has spent time and money and resources, and the success has been absolutely phenomenal. I myself have taken part in a number of darkness into light walks and sponsored walks for various different charities. And I'm delighted that this piece of money is going to be spent in such a lovely way, because it really has become an oasis for everybody in that community. And it has been absolutely fantastic to see. It is the result of probably 9 or 10 years work from the officers of this council and councillors, and without doubt the community group that has been behind it. So I absolutely welcome it, you know, a phenomenal success. But I do want to put on record that the officers continually are looking for funding streams to be used in all ongoing projects within this council area, and I applaud their commitment, and I am more than happy to propose the recommendations. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Roisin. I'm Councillor Hart, your second in the motion.
Yeah, I'm happy to second this.
Thank you, Councillor Hart. So we'll move on then to item number 9 on your agenda, which is the Dublin-Belfast Economic Corridor Delivery Plan. That's taken by Mr. McGilley.
Chair, as councillors will be aware, this council has been working in partnership with all of the councils along the Dublin-Belfast corridor in recent years. The renewed impetus kind of had been developed around the challenges and the opportunities arising through Brexit, and in 2018 an economic profile was developed for the region. Chairman, in terms of moving this forward in light of some of the, suppose, the challenges also posed now with COVID and the recovery from COVID, is a proposal to develop a development plan for the region and a strategy and a related action plan, which will start to look at activity and programmes and projects that could be brought forward across the region to develop it as an economic corridor. Chairman, the proposal would cost in the region of £15,000 for the £700 for the council on a pro rata base, along with all the other partners. And the request tonight is to commit that funding, which is in the budget this year, and to commence the procurement for to complete this piece of work.
Thank you, Mr. McGilley. Councillor Savage, you want to propose, and you also have a question.
Yes, Chair. Can you hear me okay? Yeah.
Yes, go ahead. Yeah.
Yeah. Chair, I welcome the paper and welcome the proposal. This is something that I feel very strongly that we need to be involved in. You know, but I do understand that there have been a lot of challenges thrown up in recent months, not least with COVID and some of the elements around the Northern Ireland Protocol. But, Chair, you know, really, my question is in relation to the scope of the research and work that we're contributing to, and will it deal with and explore what I believe are now significant economic opportunities that have arisen on the back of Brexit now that the dust has settled a little bit. Quite a few business people have spoken to me in recent months and expressed the frustration that the real opportunities that many of them are actually seizing at the minute are being lost in the noise around some of the issues around the protocol. Problems which will hopefully be addressed in negotiations and discussions in the coming months. Chair, the reason I ask is that I believe our district, of all the districts listed within the economic corridor, is probably best placed strategically and geographically to seize these opportunities, given our location to the border and, of course, our young, well-educated and skilled workforce. Chair, it's very important, I believe, that when setting the terms of reference of this, that those opportunities are explored at length and highlighted, and the people who are actually benefiting as a result of that voice is heard in the debate around where we go from here with the challenges that Brexit and COVID have thrown at us. And I think it's very important that in discovering those and discussing those and exploring those, that our location and our strategic position in that economic corridor is stressed as part of that research. Thanks, Chair.
Hi, Chair. Yeah, that would be part of that work, and to consult with various sectoral bodies and representative business organisations as well as part of that in developing that plan.
Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Mr. McGilley. Can I just have someone to second this item, please? Councillor Clark has seconded it. Thank you. Sorry, we'll move on to item number 10, which is the Labour Market Partnership. It's also been taken by Mr. McGilley.
Yep, Chairman, this is again by way of update, as council, as members will be aware, made aware, the Department for Communities has developed this new initiative, Labour Market Partnerships, very much aligned to the Employability NI strategy. This is an opportunity to establish a local labour market partnership to, I suppose, take some of actions forward that will help improve employability in each of the 11 council areas, Chairman. We have been obviously reporting back through the committee on this and developing our action plan through our economic sort of skills and employability working group of our economic forum. Chairman, we are anticipating commitment of funds from the department. They have made an initial indication of that funding will be made available dependent on a submission of the action plan. So we're now again time bound in terms of delivery, where they'll want to see delivery of a number of actions by the end of this financial year, and we're seeking approval to accept the letter of offer from the department and approve the business case to allow procurement and the establishment of the various governance structures to proceed as soon as possible upon receipt of the offer from the department, Chairman. Any variation in that, obviously, would have to bring it back to the committee, but it's that is the request, the recommendation from officers.
Thank you, Mr. McGilley. Councillor Mulgrew.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. I'm happy to propose the recommendations of the officers. You know, our world has been turned upside down in the last year and a half between Brexit and COVID. So anything that can support those seeking employment and the job creation within our district is absolutely keen. So I think it's a fantastic initiative and more than happy to propose. Thanks.
Thank you, Roisin. Councillor Stokes.
Yeah, sure. Just happy to second.
Thanks. Thank you, Councillor Stokes. Okay. We'll move on then to item number 11, which is the revitalisation scheme for Newry and Dunpatrick. That's been taken by Mr. McGilley.
Chairman, again, we're seeking approval this evening to establish the working groups to bring forward revitalisation programmes for Lower Hill Street in Newry and for Church Street in Dunpatrick. Chairman, the department has indicated that they have made available funding of £250,000 and £200,000 for, sorry, £250,000 for Hill Street, £200,000 for Church Street and Dunpatrick. We are requesting approval to establish working groups to draw up an action plan to submit to the department for approval, and also to commit council match funding of 10% for each of those schemes, which has been budgeted for in anticipation. Chairman, so that is the key recommendations this evening to move those both schemes forward.
Thank you, Mr. McGilley. Councillor Stokes.
Yeah, I proposed, and just at this time, we just congratulate everyone involved in the recent work that was completed on Hill Street. That phase, everyone from the council end, I mean, the place looks really well, good feedback on it, so keep up the good work. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Councillor Stokes. Councillor Savage.
Yes, Chair, happy to second. Very important investment in the two areas outlined, and hopefully down the line these will stretch out to other areas of the district. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you. Councillor Hannah.
Chair, just looking at this, after listening to the very depressing notice of motion earlier on, unless Newry's getting everything there, Dunpatrick doesn't seem to be taking one bit of hurt. So I hope Councillor Curran and Councillor Sherwin are listening in. I'm just looking, and quite honestly, I think Dunpatrick's doing okay.
Thank you. Thanks for your comments, Councillor Hannah. Councillor Burgess.
Thank you, Chair. Yes, just to say thanks for reminding us, Councillor Hannah. Yes, Dunpatrick does need to be left along Church Street, and I've no doubt Hill Street and Newry needs to see him. And I would just like to support that cause too.
Thank you, Councillor Burgess. Okay, so we're all in agreement. We can move on then to item number 12, which is the Tourism NI Market Led Project Product Development Programme. And Mr. Patterson's taken that for us.
Yep, Chair. The paper provides details of £150,000 funding from Tourism NI to support delivery of more visitor experience in the district. That's in line with the visitor experience brand Embrace the Giant Spirit that the Tourist Board are currently rolling out across the island of Ireland at the moment, trying to encourage more visitors to the district, to our district. So there's no match funding required from council, just really officers' time, and the funding is we're looking to commit the funding to, as I say, develop more experiences and work with established tourism businesses and providers in bringing those experiences to market. So happy to take questions, Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Patterson. Okay, Councillor Burgess.
Yes, Chair, I would propose that we do go with the officer's recommendation. It would be good if we can get that 150,000 and it'll help to support the area. Yeah, 100% with it.
Thank you. Councillor Mulgrew?
Yeah, I'm happy to second the recommendations. I mean, in the lifetime of our council, our great success, I think, has been our tourism initiatives. And there's no doubt about it. You know, obviously, the last two summers were well and truly out of our hands. But when this committee has been looking at the return on the investment that has been spent in tourism, which was, of course, one of our priorities right across the board from all councillors, it is has been a hugely successful operation for us, and I have no doubt that this money will see other fantastic initiatives that will not only appeal to the locals but also those coming into the district to experience their holidays, and even those coming in motorhomes. So more than happy to second.
Thank you, Councillor Mulgrew. Councillor Hannah.
Chair, I'm more than happy to support this motion. It's a pretty much a no-brainer. It is possibly the $150,000 providing we get it. Well, maybe at no benefit this year, but on all the promotional work there that the Our Tourist Enterprise Tourism and Regeneration there have done I'm in the ERT since this council started, and with Marie and now with Connor and Andy there, this will set a big opportunity there to promote ourselves for into next year. At the very least, if not further forward. So I'm more than happy to support this, Chair.
Thank you, Councillor Hannah. Okay, so I think we're all in agreement. We're going to move on then to item number 13. Okay, so item number 13 will be taken on closed session. It seemed to be exempt under paragraph 3 of part 1 of Schedule 6 of the Local Government Act 2014. Information relating to the financial or business affairs of any particular person, including the council holding that information, and the public may be resolution, be excluded from this item of business. Can I ask for a proposer and a seconder to go into closed session, please?
So proposed, Chair.
Okay. Councillor Andrews proposed and Councillor Kern, or Councillor Clark second. Okay, we'll just give it a few minutes. Okay, so item number 13, Anna Long Harbour North Pier Restoration. On the proposal of Councillor Hannah, seconded by Councillor Riley, it was agreed that Council approved the Anna Long Harbour North Pier Restoration Works and the amended business case outlining the change to the delivery programme and consultant contract cost implications as a direct result of the additional works now required and further storm damage in early 2021. Subject to approval of recommendation, 1, Council issue new purchase orders to its framework contractor and consultants to oversee the works, and given the urgency of the site works, Council proceed with the recommendations in advance of the ratification of the report. Okay, if we're all happy, we're moving on then. Items number 14 to 22 are for noting only. If anyone wishes to raise any issues on these matters, I would recommend that you contact the reporting officer and raise them then. If we're happy then to take them as a bulk, okay, we're happy to move on. Okay, folks, so that concludes our ERT meeting for August. Glad to have you all back in the chamber. It was a wee bit, hip-hop, like out there, back and forth between the hype and symptom, but look, safe home, folks, and see you next month.
Thanks, Chair.
Thanks, Chair.
It's good to see everybody.
See you, Chair.